And we welcome in Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, a guide to building bridges across the political divide that Nolan wrote with Stephen Henderson, with Lynn Gollidner. There's new polling. Mr. Mitchell is out there again. Mitchell, Steve Mitchell, Mitchell Research and Communications. And in the polling, apparently the record shows that Jocelyn Benson is leading the Republicans for the field for governor. Mike Rogers leads Stevens and McMorrow, but trails El Sayed. I'm going to let Nolan make sense of all of this. Mitchell Research and Communications, the great polling company that is out there and has been with us for years. Hello, Nolan.
I mean, you probably should ask Steve about the details. I mean,
yeah, I would have. You know, had I jumped on this earlier, I would have booked Steve to come on and tell us first. But we appreciate that you go through these things and make sense of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, much of it makes sense to me. I mean, I think if you Benson's pretty much solidified the Democratic vote. I mean, she didn't have much of a point an opponent, although I'm impressed with the sheriff from Genesee County who's running against her. He's a solid guy. But still, she's getting all the attention on that side. And on the Republican side, you still got four people banging it out. So I would expect her to have a lead until Republicans identify a single candidate. On the Senate side, I mean, if you look at this, Abdul is the only one who has a passionate base, a group of voters who are very, very excited about his candidacy and about voting for him. Again, we'll see how that shapes out as we get closer to the priority, but you've got a lot of people in the Democratic Party who are just wild about Abdul. And as we've been interviewing congressional candidates over the last couple of weeks, there's a decided shift in that party towards the democratic socialism that Abdul represents. I have almost every race, there's a Democratic Socialist of America on the Democratic side of the ballot.
Oh, boy, it came here sooner than I thought it might, because we know that obviously is what's happening in New York, and now I hear it's happening in Washington, D.C., and now it's happening here, too.
Sweeping the Democratic Party, and it'll be interesting to look at how voters react to that. I mean, the prevailing wisdom right now is that, you know, it's Trump who's driving this election and opposition to or support for Donald Trump, but I think if this socialist message keeps being spewed by Democratic candidates, that may take priority in this election. That scares a lot of people, as it should.
How do we get that point across? You say that, and it's true. It scares a lot of people, as it should. How about the people who are not scared and who are embracing this? What do we say to them?
Well, I mean, socialism is always a seductive promise until you look at what it leads to. And generally, it leads to much costlier government, higher taxes, and a repressive regime. I mean, that's the history of socialism.
But Nolan, it's not you and me and others just saying that. The proof is there. The proof is in the pudding. I say to you, Democrat socialists who aren't listening to me, but I say, show us where it's worked anywhere in the world and any time in history, and they cannot come up with a way. So what makes them think this time it's going to be different?
Well, again, everybody is looking for, you know, the easiest way, and they think, gosh, we elect a guy like Abdul, and he's going to give us Medicare for all, and he's going to give us, you know, free child care, and he's going to give us free this and free that, and, you know, those nasty billionaires will pay for it. Jeez. And you hear a lot of that kind of rhetoric.
rhetoric. Well, we'll just tax the billionaires. We'll save Social Security by taxing the billionaires. You know, we'll pay for health insurance by taxing the billionaires. Well, sooner or later, the billionaires are going to run out of money, and then what?
Yeah. What was the old expression? If you rob Peter to pay Paul, soon there won't be any Peters around. I can't remember exactly how it went, but
Something like that.
That sums it up pretty well.
It does.
And I don't understand how people can't figure that out.
But they buy it, and for every spending proposal, you know, the question, how will you pay for it? It's always tax the rich, tax the rich. Well, you could tax the rich at 100% rate, which I think some folks think that's what fair share means, and still not come up with enough money to wipe out this deficit.
I just hate to have to go through learning that again, or watching people learn that along the way, because it will be a very painful time in America. And for some, they say it's already a painful time in America, and I'm sorry about that. What I love, I'll leave you on an up note, Nolan, the thing I'm loving the most about hosting the World Cup is all of these people from all of these different countries singing the praises of America, unlike most politicians on the left and liberals. Yeah. They don't even see the same America that these people come in with fresh eyes living elsewhere and say, wow, America's fabulous.
Still the greatest place on earth. And I think we should remember that as we celebrate its 250th birthday. You can focus on all the things America's gotten wrong in its history, all the warts, but it's done a hell of a lot of good things too, great things, and still is. And, you know, they got people in the world who recognize that.
Absolutely. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of the Civility book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, must-have reading, by Nolan and Stephen Henderson with Lynn Gollender. Thank you, Nolan.
Thank you,
Happy,
Paul.
By the way, it's already Thursday, so I'll say it to you. Happy Father's Day coming up.
And to you too, Paul.
Thank you, Nolan.
Thank
it is
you.
At 1243 at WJR.